Come to the 64th Annual OA Birthday Party, Together We Get Better, in person, January 12th through 14th, at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, food, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include Body Image Workshop, Big Book Study, Sober Eating Workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories covering all aspects of eating disorders, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups for LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, boutique, shop till you drop, and much, much more. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at a discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website. Act fast. Rooms sell out quickly. Why? There is a solution. You will hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together we get better. Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroups webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday 2023 or through PayPal, Serenity Sunday 1212 at gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
David, I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, David.
You know, sometimes I say, David, I'm a sometimes grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And I might have said that when I first walked in, but I had a shift, you know. It's been a struggle, rough morning. By the way, I texted my AA sponsee in Chicago, if he wanted to come, it's an open meeting, if he wanted to come hear me talk. And so his immediate response is, do you think I'm fat? Are you suggesting? And he's a former mobster, so I got to be careful with my words. You know, it's like, you know, he's got quite the story. But I said, no, I said, I thought you'd want to support your sponsor. And I gave the crying emoji. And I said, that's Jewish guilt 101. So he's Italian and Irish. It's important. If I don't say anything else, I learned from an old timer in AA. He said, take the program seriously. Don't take ourselves too seriously. His sponsee would say, if we can't learn to laugh at ourselves, we're missing the biggest joke of our life. And we need to lighten the fuck up. And if it bothers you when you hear those words that you need to lighten the fuck up, then you really need to lighten the fuck up. And, you know, that's really what it's about for me is to getting to that point. You know, it can't be fun and games and just laughter because, you know, that's there is work. And, you know, and that's what it means to take the program seriously, you know, is there's work involved. And the work is essentially put the plug in the jug, as we say in AA, and that's the first half of the first step in the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. In my opinion, it's the only step really that we can work perfectly if we have boundaries, clarity, and priorities. That's important to have boundaries, clarities, and priority. And so, yeah, trust God, clean house, help others. That I think that's the recovering of the program, in my opinion. Everything I share is just my opinion anyways. The only authority really is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, our text, which is 164 pages, and the OA 12 and 12. I think those are the, to me, besides the meeting directory, those are the three, those are the three most important pieces of literature. If you're new, you know, keep coming back. If, you know, if you're, you know, used like me, retread, you know, keep coming back. You know, I come here when I don't want to come here, and I come here when I do want to come here. And, you know, having commitments is really important. You know, I learned in what's it called? A transformational leadership program, which I was so opposed to before I got sober originally. And then I've done a couple of them. And one of the things they said is trying is resistance. Trying is resistance. I'll try to make it to the meeting. I'll try to call, or I'll try to do this, or I'll try to do that. Words are very powerful, and the disease is very powerful. And the disease talks to me in my own voice. It tells me lies. So, you know what I got to do? I got to do a little exercise I learned and I talk about all the time. My friend reminds me about it, and then I don't do it. And, you know, I remember what I'm supposed to forget in these rooms, and I forget what I'm supposed to remember. So the exercise, maybe you'll do it with me, because I'm feeling a little tight. And you don't want a tight speaker, you know? You want to have a relaxed and honest and clear, serene spiritual speaker. So the exercise, it's a breathing exercise. And so if you want to do it with me, so what I do is that when I'm feeling tense or tight and I want to ground myself, I close my eyes. And I breathe in my version of the concept of my higher power, which, you know, is capital G, O, D, or you could do capital H, capital P. But when I breathe out, I visualize in my mind small F-E-A-R, because I want my higher power, God, of my own understanding, step three, to be bigger than my fear, you know. And so I'm going to do it now for a second. You can do it with me. And because usually when I'm a little nervous, right, I'm nervous, I like to do this exercise. So I'm going to do it now. Do it with me. Breathe in higher power. Exhale the fear. I'm going to do it again. How was that? I'm still nervous. Fuck it. Didn't work. Now worked a little bit. I think I put too much ground coffee in my smoothie this morning. It's probably what it is. Yeah, it's funny. I was finishing the smoothie on the way here, and it's a little thick, and it was coming out of the cup just so slow. And I'm just like letting, you know, it's like, okay, come on, I got to get to that. I'm walking from my car. And I'm like, David, you're such a compulsive overeater. You know, you just can't throw away with a little remnant. That's the level of my compulsive overeating. I'll tell you what it was like. I ate whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, however I wanted, without boundaries. Okay. So my smoothie was 18 ounces, right? You know, I was making a smoothie before, and no matter how I made it, and I was like, oh, I'm using a tablespoon. Let me measure. It's 10 ingredients, right? It's all good stuff. And it was 32 ounces. And I was like, oh, maybe I should switch to a teaspoon. That's what I'll do. So I did that. And I did that with my own mind, right? It still ended up being 32 ounces. And I always felt a little full. And I'm like, this isn't right. It's got to be too much, right? I have this meal delivery service, so I'm like, no more training wheels, you know, they stopped delivering. So I started, bought my own frying pans, and I'm doing my own thing. You know, I'm kind of a bachelor. So then I went to this lady, Jackie's office. I was nearby, and she has her own meal delivery service, and we were talking. She's a great woman. We caught up. She's like a friend. And I was telling her, I was like, she's like, honey, that's 32 ounces. That's too much. And it's like, again, God doing for me what I can't do for myself. You know, I didn't consult. I didn't talk to my sponsor. I have a sponsor, by the way, and he knows that I'm his sponsee. Very important. Very important. Right. I have a sobriety date with food, by the way. It's 6/13/18. I'm very grateful for it. The day before, I was doing ice cream every night, and I have many sobriety dates with food, and I called my cousin-in-law, who's my Eskimo. He's a social worker at the VA, happens to be very religious Jew, and he was the last person in the world that I would ever want to call when I hit my rock bottom in Cocaine Anonymous, which was in that room Saturday morning on October 1st, 1996. And he and what I did was, I did contrary action. He was the light and I was in the dark. And I called him, this is when I got sober, and that changed my life. It changed my life because I was only as sick as my secrets, and I didn't even know what that meant. And I took a contrary action. I didn't even know what that meant. And so what happened was, fast forward, I bounced in and out of OA for 20 years, and not really, and I have such a strong fellowship in AA. Like, I would measure, oh, well, it's not the same, I'd always joke, like, I'm going to my, I, hey, Dave, you coming to the meeting tonight? My AA buddy's like, no, I'm going to my women's stag, Overeaters Anonymous, because it was me and like all women, but I related to the similarities, not the differences. And that's what kept me coming back. But I still wanted to do what I wanted to do. But the night before 6/13/18, I was, I did another pint of ice cream, not looking at the serving size or the ingredients or any of that stuff. And but I just, I was still medicating. I still was getting loaded at night, and I would buy 2 pints and think, oh, I'm not an addict, because I kept one in the freezer and I would only have one, right? Look at me. Look, Ma, not an addict. I 1 pint at a time, I'm sure the vodka guy, I was not a vodka guy, but he probably did that too. I just do 1 pint a night, So, but I called my cousin, and the same cousin-in-law who I just got off the phone with on the way here, and he said, David, he's like, you've been bouncing around and with this thing, because I talk to him all the time about the food thing, and he's like, oh, geez, you know what the date was yesterday? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, yeah, it's June 13th. And he's like, yeah, 2018, 6/13/18. I was like, whoa. And some of us, I'm a numbers guy, and I look for the signs whenever I could find the signs. So on October 1st, when I called Joel, my cousin-in-law at the VA at 7 in the morning, talked to him for 2 hours, again, living in the dark in a dark rat trap apartment in Venice, getting loaded, not with ice cream, with cocaine and alcohol and drugs and whatever. By the way, I gained weight on cocaine. That is a sign of an addict, okay? That's a sign of an addict as well. Most people, if you go to AA and you hear drug stories like cocaine, they lose weight, right? They come in emaciated. Not me. But it was my first addiction. My first love was food. But I talked to him, I remember, for 2 hours, and I went to a Cocaine Anonymous meeting in the Valley, and but I drank. I had a drink to celebrate my newfound sobriety off cocaine a few days later, because I was going into an outpatient program. And they said, if you're not an alcoholic, you won't have any problem not drinking. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because in AA, they have a menu and they have boundaries and they have clarity on the, we have boundaries clarity on the first half of the first step. If you're new, trying to find, like, I have a new sponsee in, I think it's South Dakota, and there's no in-person meeting. She's only on Zoom, and she got the book, and she's doing everything on her own. She was almost to a four step, and she's kind of self-sponsoring, because that's all she knows is to, if she needs to, if you want it done right, you're going to do it yourself. It's that kind of thinking, and I get that. And so we're slowly kind of shifting to, ha, taking suggestions. How about this suggestion? How about that suggestion? So if you're new, I learned here, my best thinking got me here. If I knew better, I would have done better. And that's why, living in consultation is so important. In OA, there's a lot of flavors here. Your food plan and your program will get me loaded, 100%. There's some of you all do the super strict, and that's great. That works for you. God bless you. Doesn't work for me. But some of y'all do the, like this one girl. Oh, as long as my sponsor says I can eat anything I want, as long as my relationship with God is right. Well, that doesn't work for me either. So, it's really about finding balance and living in consultation, whether you do it with a nutritionist or a a dietitian, and a lot of those folks who I've seen over the years, they always tell you to write down your food. So that's a great suggestion. I have never not, since 6/13/18, not written down every single thing that I've eaten chronologically with a timestamp. Now I have at the bottom, like kind of a mini 10th step. I put in there my walk, my exercise. You know, it's about accountability and keep myself accountable. So, you know, anyways, why was I saying? Oh, so the God shot. I wanted to tell you that my first God shot was on October 1st. I called Joel, and then I went to this meeting. He spoke to me for 2 hours, and I had that glass of wine. And they told me in Matrix that we don't want you to have wine or any alcohol for 4 months while you're in it. And I said, oh yeah, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't have a problem not drinking. And then 6 months sober, I found my home group, and they said, it's an AA home group, and you know, we don't drink. And I had a little secret. I had a drink after my October 1st sobriety date with cocaine. And the reason I'm telling you this is because it was a dirty date, right? It wasn't kosher, as we say in some circles. It was a dirty date. And so I told my sponsor, my AA sponsor, I said, hey, I actually drank after. I went out with some friends to celebrate with a nice bottle of wine, newfound sobriety off cocaine. He said, no problem. Just look in the calendar and see what that date is. And I went in the calendar, and he said, whatever the next day after you drank, so it was a Friday night, I knew that. And he said, whatever the date is, that's your new sobriety date. That's your kosher sobriety date. And I looked in the calendar, and I drank, I called Joel on October 1st, and I had on Friday, October 3rd, that drink. So my real sobriety date was October 4th. And this light bulb went on. I'm like, holy cow, October 4th was my Army induction date. Is it odd, or is it God, as you guys taught me? Coincidences are God's way of remaining anonymous, as I learned around here. And by the way, on October 4th, 1984, which was my Army induction date, if I can remember correctly, and the president says this at the inauguration, all the senators, everybody, it's the same. When you become a citizen of the United States, it's, you know, swore to uphold, defend the Constitution of the United States.
Five more minutes.
Thank you. All enemies, foreign and domestic, so help you God. You know, and, you know, the only enemy that I have is right here now. This is really it. You know, it's the disease of addiction. I wake up with it every morning. It talks to me in my own voice. I got to get to God before my head gets to me. You know, I got up extra early knowing that I was going to, you know, come here. I got my 20-minute meditation. Oh, man. You know what? I got 2 months. I've been doing this ice bath. I started at 59 degrees, this ice bath. They got a chiller and everything. And by the way, they say the ice bath works. The solution is for two types of people. People who are athletic, working out every day. It's great for recovery when you're working out vigorously every day and you're a gym rat. That's number one. The other one is good for mental health and depression. So guess which reason I bought the ice plunge for, okay? Yeah, not option one, option two, okay? I'm not, you know, you people who call yourselves compulsive exercisers, I don't get that. I don't get it. Man, you should have seen me in the military trying to drag my ass out of bed. I remember the first sergeant, he pulled the bed up, lifted it up, and he dropped it, you know, basic training. But anyways, I only got a few minutes left. You know, resentment is the number one offender. That is true. The number one solution I've learned is to take responsibility for what I created. The steps are really where it's at. It's a 12-step program. Why not do the steps? My step guide, I got a new one in AA, and, you know, he just says he's a straight 12-step guy. That's it. He's no BS. By the way, that 12-step guy, that my step guide that was introduced to me, I've known him my whole sobriety, which is 20-something years. He, at 10 years sobriety, we both discovered we were both stationed on the same base in Germany with the smallest post of 3,000 people. Is it odd or is it God? And I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him in a while. Someone reintroduced me to him as someone that should be my step guide. We found out that we actually went through basic training and job training in Oklahoma. So we went through the same bases in 1984, 85, 86, 87, and didn't even know each other. And this guy is, you know, my guide now. And he's and I need him now more than ever. And I got a mom in skilled nursing. I you know, evictions from the assisted living, her falling down the stairs. I'm an only child, you know. I love my mother. I'm taking care of her, being a service to her, just like she was a service to me. You know, so it's tough around. I got so many irons in the fire, and it's really the program that's like carrying me through it. And then, of course, what's going on in the world? I got family on the other side of the planet there, and you know, but and you know, I'll just say this, like, and shut up. The program is perfect. It's the people in it that I have a problem with. You know, if you like everybody in Overeaters Anonymous, you're probably not going to enough meetings. Okay, I mean, it's you know, ultimately, what I have found is, you know, we are all flawed individuals, perhaps spiritually sick children of God, getting better one day at a time. And you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's not about not eating compulsively. It's about how do I live my life without eating compulsively, whatever that means to you. The 12 steps are arranged in an order for a reason. We put down the food, we get clarity, boundaries, priorities when it comes to food. And the second half is the unmanageability. And my new step guide talked to me about the unmanageability. He says, you know what's going to happen if you drink or use. We already dealt with that. And because I'm coming in with him at 20 something years sober, but you know, he said the unmanageability is really, and we spent a lot of time on the unmanageability, which is the second half of the first step. And the second half of the first step is surrendering me playing God and me being the manager. This is the number one character defect that I find objectionable at the end of the day is me running my own show. And at the end of the day, the steps are in order, finding a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity, knowing ahead of time that if I pick up that ice cream, that pint, where I'm going to end up. Real insanity is knowing ahead of time. And the third step, turning my will and life over to the care of God. Group of donut addicts, group of drunks, group of good orderly direction is the way I like to look at it, you know. And I can't even make you guys the room. And I alluded to it in a way. You know, pick off resentments in a minute. Ah, she's not doing it right. He's not doing it right.
That's time.
Thank you. And I'll wrap it up. You know, at the end of the day, it really is about the steps and turning my will and life over to the care of God as I understand God. And coincidences, again, are God's way of remaining anonymous, but it's not enough. It's about me staying connected in between those God shots. Because I can't just say, oh, it's God, there's a God shot. And then all of a sudden now it's like, oh, it's David's will again. Not going to work. So I love my life. I love you guys. I look forward to hearing from you. And thanks for letting me share.